Action Vision code CPN-S08-B1-4. That's CPN-S08-B1-4. The results, there are results in my life based on the spiritual decisions I have made. There are results in my life based on the spiritual decisions I have made. What's the purpose of this action? Point one, well, it relates to prayer, salvation, and results. So if we're doing the right actions in the right way over the right period of time from a spiritual perspective, we will produce results. We will produce fruit. When we do what God directs us to do, we will see results. These results are not due to our efforts, but our obedience and following and honoring God's word. Point two, what are the benefits received through the completion of this action? Well, we're going to see the fruit of our labor and the results of God's love and laws. And we're going to strengthen the foundation and the confidence in the word of God. It's going to assist us to grow and have more confidence in our prayer life. What are the details of this action and or the challenges that we're going to face? Well, the course ID is 108, course ID 108. Matthew 6:20 says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal." You know, in looking at this particular action and results, I think it's so difficult to balance and to know the balance between what do we focus in on fruit and what do we focus in on results. I was just having breakfast with men's group this morning, and one of the guys, I asked him, I said, you know, do you get an opportunity to share Christ? You know, do you get much opportunity? And he said, well, not a lot, but I try here and I try there. He says, you know, nobody's ever made a profession of faith with me. You know, our responsibility is to do the actions, to plant the seeds. It's not to bring forth the fruit. That's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit. Now, with that being said, I think it's easy to cop out and say, well, you know, I share Christ. I mean, how frequently do we share Christ? I mean, if we're not having an opportunity to share Christ, guess what? It's like trying to go ahead and try to hit a home run. If you're not ever up to the bat, if you're not ever swinging, you know, up to the plate, if you're not ever swinging the bat, you're not going to hit a home run. It's not going to happen. So we got to get the up to bats. Now, how do we do that? There's many ways that we can do that. There's some techniques that we can learn to do that to be able to share Christ. You know, if you in Sunday school, I remember being in leadership and often in different Sunday school classes where I thought, boy, I'm not really qualified to teach this. Well, if you ever really want to learn something, what do you do? You teach it. Get out there and teach it. If you really want to know what God's doing in our lives, if we want to see what God's doing in our life, get out there and do it. If we're not producing fruit, for goodness sake, get out there and share Christ. Well, I'm not equipped. I haven't been to seminary. I don't know what to say. Don't worry about what to say. Just get out there and say something. So here's some techniques that will help. Again, it should be led in the spirit. You know, in personality assessment and looking through it, which of these four shapes would you tend to like? A square, a triangle, a squiggly line, or a circle? A square, a triangle, a squiggly line, or circle. Some might say, well, what does that have to do with spiritual? That doesn't seem like a very spiritual question. Well, what I have found is that individuals, based on their personality, will tend to view God in a certain way. So individuals will tend to view God in a certain way. Individuals that tend to be more like the square, that's their choice on what they would go ahead and like to do. These individuals will tend to view God as, you know, very structured and very organized. Individuals that tend to be triangles are very directive. Where God told me to do it, I need to do it. These would be the driver personalities. The expressive personalities, the squiggly lines, would tend to be view God in an exciting manner. God wants an exciting relationship with me. And the circles would tend to be more loving. God wants, you know, He's a loving God. So how do we share Christ? In understanding people's different personalities, people look four things within God in different manners. One thing that cuts through everything and being able to bear fruit. And bearing fruit very strongly is tied into, there are the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. So there are the fruits of the Spirit, that is true. But spiritual fruit is very much tied into being able to share Christ and have people come to Him. Now, one of the biggest deceptions that the devil gives to Christians is that I'm not gifted in sharing Christ. You know, I don't know how to do it. I'm not that good. That's not my gift. It's not a gift to share Christ. It is a command to share Christ. If we're focused on how good we do it, we can give a beautiful presentation. It comes across glowing. It sounds really polished. But you know what? It's not going to have any fruit because it's not from the Spirit. Or it can be bungled, botched up, absolutely pathetic, but if it's led by the Spirit, it will bear fruit. But the point is, it doesn't matter how many seed, you know, it doesn't matter how much you don't do. If we don't plant seeds, there will be no fruit. Now, when you start planting a lot of seeds, and my own personal belief is that Christians that are really, truly followers of Christ will either be sharing Christ on an active, dynamic, daily basis with people, or they're going to have a passion to do so and be crying out to God and saying, how come I'm not, please bring somebody into my life to share Christ with? So if we're not sharing Christ on a daily basis, on a consistent basis, we better have a passion for it. We better be saying, God, I mean, what's wrong with my heart? What's wrong with my soul? And it doesn't matter who you are, if you're a pastor, doesn't matter if you've been to seminary or not, if we don't have a passion to share Christ, I don't think we have a fear of God. I don't think we have a love for God on the massive sacrifice on what He's done, sending His Son to die on the cross and pay the penalty for us. And, you know, I've been blessed with 7 kids, 3 of them boys. If I were to sacrifice one of my boys' life for you personally, I would have a lot of love for you, especially if you're the one that killed him. And I sacrificed him. I would have a lot of love for you. But you know what? You better accept him. There would be judgment. There would be righteous judgment. There wouldn't be any other way. And so I think as Christians, we get into this love thing just as much as people that aren't Christians. Well, God's not going to judge. I mean, you know, we're under grace. God's going to give us mercy. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of love. But don't presume that if we're not sharing Christ, if we don't have a burden, if we miss opportunities, don't presume upon a holy God that He is going to give you and I mercy. That's presumptuous. And that presumption can be judged. God can give mercy, but I'm not one as a human being to say God's going to give us mercy or God's going to give us judgment. So for me, I think a healthy fear of God is I want to do it because I'm passionate about it. Because tears well up and I think of the huge, huge sacrifice that He's made for my life. I want to do it out of that motivation. Now, if that's not enough motivation, you know, out of just a sheer responsibility, I do ought to do it just because it's a command. He told me to do it. Very simply, I've got to do it. Now, if that's not enough motivation to share Christ, if that's not enough motivation to get on our knees and pray that God opens up our eyes to the multitude of people around us that are dying and going to hell, if that's not enough motivation, well then for goodness sake, do it out of fear. We're going to stand before a holy God someday, and He's going to judge us. I don't know what that's going to look like. But boy, if I don't have a fear of a holy God that gave His Son to die on the cross and pay the penalty for my sin, if I don't fear a God like that, then something's wrong with me. And I don't know what kind of response that's going to be when when we're there, and I don't want to come up short. And so, you know, my encouragement to each one of us, each and every one of us is, if we're not sharing Christ, pray that God lays on our heart a burden for the lost, for our neighbor, for our friend, for our enemy, for our boss, for fellow employees, for our clients, for people down the street, for people we see at the store, for people that are halfway around the world. Pray that God lays on our heart a burden to see people as God sees people, to love people as God loves people, to have a passion for people as God has a passion for people. What are the resources and knowledge needed for this particular action? We need the Word of God. We need to allow it to penetrate and pierce our hearts. One of the best ways you can share Christ is just say, what are the two biggest challenges you're facing in any area of your life? Anybody you come into. So what are the two biggest challenges you're facing in any area of your life? When they share those two biggest challenges, then you say, hey, would you mind if I prayed for those? People will be moved. When you start praying for people's biggest challenge, even if it gets worse, they still appreciate the prayer. And if it gets better, they attribute that better with your prayer. And they're like, wow, prayer works. So if it doesn't work the way we want it, they say, wow, they're really caring and compassionate people. If it does work the way that they want it to work, they say, wow, prayer answers. And they're going to listen to us. They're going to listen to the Word of God. So ask, what are the biggest challenges? You want fruit in your life. You want to go ahead and not have one or twofold. You want to be the steward that has a hundredfold of fruit. Well, then go ahead and ask these questions and then be in prayer for people and then just wait for God to open up the floodgates. Let's open up the phone lines here. What would be some input? Melissa, are you on the phone?
Yeah, I'm on.
What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I actually, like, I don't know. Well, like, I agree with, like, standing before Holy God and stuff. But, I mean, I don't know what it's going to be like. Because, I mean, it'll be like, when I, like, want something from you, I'm, like, scared to say it. But, I mean, dude, this is, like, the creator of, like, 10 trillion, billion people. So, like, it's going to be, like, hard. Right, I mean, especially since you have to give an account for your entire life, and especially, like, since you're a father, you have to give an account for, like, our lives and stuff, so
As we're wise stewards with little things, God gives us more. Good. Ginger Ann, what are your thoughts?
I kind of agree with that a lot, and also to add something to that, just, I've noticed at certain times in my personal life, like, when I'm struggling through things or whatever, I notice in my Bible reading or whatever, a lot of times goes down, and it shouldn't be that way. And also, when it goes that way, that also means that my witnessing goes down. But I realize when that happens, sometimes it just makes me bring me closer to God. So what I do is, as soon as my Bible reading and stuff goes up, my passion for reaching people goes up as well. So
cool. Natalie, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I think that trying to feel people's pain, you know, going through life and really looking inside people is something that I try to do. And, you know, like you were saying, just anybody on the street, whether it be a neighbor or somebody you see driving down the road, I mean, you can tell that look on somebody's face whether or not they're joyful, whether or not, you know, they're filled with joy or filled with sadness. And even if, you know, it may be happiness that they're showing. I think that as Christians, God gives us insight into reading people. And I think if we're encouraged and if we call on the Holy Spirit to do that, to have that gift, He is going to grant us more of that. You know, the Lord is going to grant us more of having insight into people's lives. And the more insight we have, the deeper we can go with them. So I think that's a gift in witnessing, too.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a number of years back, you know, God's blessed, you know, my wife and I with 7 kids. And a number of years ago, I just had this burden and said, you know, came to recognition that God loves other children as much as He loves mine. And if we are to be followers of Christ, if my heart is to be like God's heart, if that's what I'm called to be, that means that I should have as much love for other children as I do my own children. I ought to have a burden for other children as I do my own, and I prayed for that. And be really careful what you pray for.
Right.
Because when God grants you that prayer, the burden in your heart just starts to well up, and you say, man, I have a huge sense of responsibility just because of everything God's given in my life. And it can become overwhelming. And I think the bigger the vision, I think the bigger the burden, the more we're called on to go ahead and trust in Christ, and the more we're forced into it. I mean, being a father of seven kids is a pretty awesome and intimidating responsibility, but being, you know, what are there, 3 billion, 4 billion kids out there, I mean, I have got to be trusting in Christ. Dan, do you have any input or thoughts?
I just think, you know, sometimes we have the fear of witnessing, of fear of what people might say to us and stuff like that. And you know, as I read the Bible and sing songs in the hymn book, you know, there's one song, oh, let's forget about ourselves and worship Him. And I'm just thinking to myself, if I just forget about myself and, you know, all my little situations in life and just not so much worry about my image, but if I just worry about Christ's image in me, then, you know, no one can touch that image except for Jesus.
See, I think that's true, Dan. I think that when our focus is in, you know, if we become, you know, we all tend to have fear, and I think the greater the fear, the greater we're focused in on ourselves. You know, if you have a child that's in danger in the middle of the road, you know, there, you know, you could put yourself in harm's way, but you have such a vision, such a purpose, such a passion to get that child out of harm's way that you disregard your own health, you disregard your own safety, and you go forth based on the vision, the purpose, and what we've had. That's good input. Anyone else have any additional thought on this particular lesson on getting results based on the spiritual decisions that I have made?
Mark, it's Debbie.
Yes.
One of the things that you said during your presentation that I find to be so true, that if your heart is in the right place and you want to share God's love with somebody, I think that, well, it's scriptural, that the Holy Spirit will be there with you, because many times it says, go, you know, and I will be there with you. So I think a lot of people do it, you know, are afraid to go forward with their witnessing, and, you know, I basically, what I'll do is I'll take a deep breath, which is my time for the Spirit to enter my voice, and then I'll discuss what I felt, you know, the Holy Spirit led me to discuss. And I think that's probably a good idea in our daily life as well, but I think when sharing, knowing that God's there with us is real important. And then, you know, it was interesting because I never attached the personality thing with it. So if we have enough time, if you could just hit the personalities, you know, I know what the square means, what the circle, do that one more time at the end of this, I think that would be helpful.
I can do that. Elijah, did you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I was just listening and thinking about how you were talking about ministering to people. And one of the biggest things that people really don't think about is that no matter how good a person is, if they're not saved, then they're going to live in eternal pain. And most people don't think about that. And instead of looking on someone with a feeling of love and wanting to help them. A lot of people reject them for it. And another thing that just keeps people away from that is just a really big fear of being rejected and having people reject you because you tried to show them something that they obviously don't want. I know in my personal experience, I have a friend who I tried to talk to about Christ once, and he said he just didn't want any of it. And the biggest thing that drives people away is that Christians put rules on everything and say you can't do anything.
Uh-huh. That's really good, you know, input and insight, Elijah. I think, you know, what I have found is it's interesting because I've had the opportunity to share Christ with so many people, and people have made professions so many times, and people have said to me, you know, Mark, God's just given you a great gift of evangelism, and, you know, I'm in sales, and I just find that when I ask a lot of sales, you know, I ask a lot of times for the sale, I get a lot more sales. I think the same thing is true in evangelism. You know, if you're not going to go ahead and be asking people, if you're not presenting the gospel and saying, is that something you're interested in? If you only do it once a year, one, you're not going to be very good at it, and two, is there's not going to be a lot of fruit. I think as it relates to fear, I think, you know, and I don't know, I've questioned myself on this, on can you have too much fear. I've had numerous people say to me that are close, and they say, Mark, it almost seems like you have an inordinate fear of God. And I guess, you know, if anything can be too fearful, I think I may be. But I don't think very many Christians are fearful of God. We are fearful of what people think. Well, what's a greater fear? I mean, if we have a child out in the street and we don't know that child and we run and tackle them because we think that they're in danger, we're not worried about, well, are their parents going to go ahead and sue us, or somebody going to get upset, is somebody going to misunderstand, is somebody going to misconstrue, is, you know, we don't have all of these things. Why? Because that child is in imminent danger. And we are called to overcome that. I think Christians become passive. It's like we're pumped into, the devil pumps morphine in, and we're numb to people dying and going to hell. And so when, you know, when I go through this lesson, when I'm talking and dialoguing with you guys, I'm convicted in my own life, and I say, man, I am such a pathetic, weak person. I should be doing so much more. But what I find with Christians often is, you know, we hang around people, and people, you know, we compare ourselves to ourselves, we compare ourselves to others, and we're fools. So I think, you know, we need to close this one off, and we'll just cover real quick on the personalities again. But, you know, the challenge is be around people that iron sharpening iron. I mean, I don't want somebody to say, hey, Mark, you're just a great guy, and you're sharing Christ, and wow, you're on fire, and, you know, you're just doing... I mean, what I need is I need somebody around me that says, Mark, who are you not praying for that you should be praying for? You missed an opportunity here, Mark. I would rather have a person, a friend of mine, fine-tuning me than stand before a holy God someday when I'm not going to have an opportunity to share Christ ever again and say, you missed this opportunity, this opportunity, this opportunity. Somebody that shows me love is much more what people would consider judgmental. I mean, what are they going to do to me? Make me feel bad? And so I think it's important that iron does sharpening iron. I do think it's important that we are around other believers that are not going to say, hey, you're doing a great job, but say, hey, here's some areas in our lives that we're really missing. In the personalities, what I have found is the analytical personality will tend to relate to God in a black and white manner, A, B, C, subpoint 1, 2, 3, here's right, here's wrong, this is just how it is. So in presenting the gospel to them, presenting the gospel in a very linear format tends to help them to receive the gospel much stronger. They tend to be learned people. They tend to be educated people. They tend to know a lot about God. They'll have a lot of questions. Don't allow the analytical to get you off on a lot of, you know, well, why does everybody, you know, how can somebody that's never heard Christ, you know, how come there's death? How come there's hunger? The point is do you know you're a sinner? Do you believe Christ died on the cross and paid the penalty for your sin? do you want, you have a choice to make. Are you going to accept him into your life to be your Lord and Savior? Yes or no? Well, what about this? Doesn't matter about that. Are you a sinner? Yes. Did Christ die on the cross? Yes. Okay, are you going to accept him or reject him? Well, what about this? Doesn't matter. The question is, are you a sinner? Don't try to intellectually convince somebody to come to Christ. Especially with an analytical, you won't be able to intellectually convince them to come to Christ. People don't come to Christ intellectually. It's through the Holy Spirit. So you just keep coming back and hitting the same thing over and over and over again. You're a sinner. Christ died. Are you going to accept or reject him? Really simple. The driver personality will tend to relate to God, and as you probably guessed, I'm a driver personality. God tells me to do it, I do it. It's very, very judgmental. It's very, very harsh, but it's very, very strong. When I do what God directs me to do, he will reward me bountifully. Unbelievable. I will have an awesome marriage. I will have awesome kids. I will have awesome friends. I will potentially have a great business. When I get to heaven, I'm going to have an unbelievable mansion. When I do what God directs me to do, God is going to reward me greatly for doing that. If I don't, he will judge me immensely. That's how a driver views God. The expressive tends to view God very energetic, charismatic, you know, very much, wow, friends, and this is great, we're having a great time, you know, this is just neat. And so focusing in on what are the joys of being a believer? How is it fun to be a believer? What is it? God wants us to have a fulfilling, exciting life. God wants us to have that. And an amiable is very strong into the love, and they don't like to talk about hell. They don't like to talk about God's judgment. They don't like to think of God as a God of judgment. Even in judgment, God is merciful and loving. So when we understand different people's personalities and how they receive God, we're always led by the Spirit, though. So it's not a manipulation of somebody's personality. It is a consideration, just like you would their language, just like you would their culture. It's a consideration of that. Now, if an amiable, if you're sharing Christ with an amiable, and you feel that the Spirit's moving you to talk about judgment and about God's judgment and wrath, if God's really leading you to do that and you feel strongly, then do it. Trust the Spirit to guide you to share the gospel. The gospel is a very simple message. We're sinners. Christ died on the cross and paid the penalty for our sin. We have an opportunity to accept that gift or reject that gift. No more complicated than that. Has nothing to do with works. Has nothing to do with what church you go to. Has nothing to do with hypocrites as Christians. Has nothing to do with anything other than those simple things. It's the ABC. Accept that we're sinners. Believe that Christ died on the cross and paid the penalty for our sin. And confess that we're sinners and ask Christ to come in to be our Lord and Savior. This particular lesson has been lesson CPN-S07-B1-4. That's CPN-B1-4. And it's, there are results in life based on the spiritual decisions I have made. God bless and have a great day.